Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
I want to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 127 this morning. If you would turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 127. Psalms 127. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gate. How many know children are a gift from God? How many know that God has great plans for your children? Amen. Do you know that God has great plans for your children? He's got plans for them to do great things, to serve him, to be victorious in the kingdom of God. But guess what? You're a child of God yourself. Now, how many know God has great plans for you? He has a great purpose for you. He has a great desire for you to do the things that he's called you to do, right? So when we look at this and we see that children are like arrows, I wonder if we also are like arrows as children of God. Are we also like arrows? And what does that mean? Does it mean we're raising up a bunch of weapons? I don't know. I've heard the term bull in a china shop, and every once in a while I've wondered if my son wasn't a tornado, you know? I literally watched him run through a plate glass window one time, you know? It scratched his nose. That was it, you know? I mean, so sometimes I'm wondering if we're not raising up, you know, weapons of mass destruction. You know, if anybody's ever woken up and come into your kid's room, have you not decided that, you know, you thought a hurricane hit it? You know, yeah, sometimes these little things can be weapons of mass destruction, right? But I don't think that's what we mean here when he says that children are like arrows in a warrior's hand. You know, we also are meant to be arrows. And God wants to release arrows to make an impact on the world. I believe that the Lord has given me a prophetic message for you today, but it's for you to understand that it is time that the arrows come out of the quiver. That the arrows that God has prepared come out of the quiver. Okay? Now I will go ahead and tell you from the beginning of this message, I am not a hunter. I don't even know if I've ever shot an arrow. No. Maybe one. I probably didn't hit the target. I don't know. But you know what? It's important that we understand what the scripture means when we begin to look at this. And it's important when we look at Psalms 127, what God is saying here. If you look at it in your Bible, you'll probably see the first two verses, and then you'll see a pause break. Anybody see that pause break in their Bible? It's even digitally as well. And then there's the other verses. So there's a break. It's like a paragraph, a break, and then the next paragraph. I want you to see that because there's importance in understanding how the structure of this chapter is laid out. You know, sometimes we read words on a page and we don't look at commas and we don't look at sentences or exclamation points or paragraphs to understand how it all comes together and how we understand the Word of God. Amen? When God repeats himself, listen, listen, I think he wants our attention, right? So there's things in the Bible that we have to begin to look at how grammatically it is put together. And this is one of those. With that break, he says, unless the Lord builds a house. Unless the Lord builds a house. And then he says, children are a gift from God. I think God is explaining what it is to build a house. Because to make a house a home, how many know you need children? You need to make the house of God what it's supposed to be. Unless the Lord builds this house, how many know it needs children of God? unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. It's wasted if we don't let God build the house that we're in. How many know this church, FWC, is the house of the Lord's? It's not my house. It's not our apostles, our founding pastor's house. No, it is the house of the Lord. It is the children who occupy the house. I mean, even in today's world, so many people tell me what they can and can't do based on their children's schedule. Come on, you know I'm talking to you. I mean, and it's true. I mean, yes, they're, and we'll get them involved, and because the children are such a wonderful gift from God. They're a gift, amen? So as we see this, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted, for children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Then, unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. And then he says, children are like arrows in a warrior's hand. I think he's telling us something about protecting the city. The children of God are like arrows in his hand. And it says, how joyful is a man whose quiver is full of them. How joyful is a church. How joyful is the house of the Lord when there are children of God that are like arrows carefully crafted to do the work of the Lord. I know you're wondering where I'm going. But I want you to see something today, because it says, and then it goes on and says, for God, look at the last sentence in the last verse in that. It says, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Then the last verse in the other one says, he will not be put to shame when he confronts the accusers at the city gate. You don't have to be worried what happens when your accusers come, because God's already given you rest. I'm telling you, these two go together. You got to begin to look at the structure. You got to begin to look at the structure. It doesn't matter about the accusers that have come against you, that have talked bad about you, that have reminded you of your past, that have told you you'll never do anything from the Lord, that have told you all the negative things you've ever done in your life, that call out all of those things. Those are your accusers. There's accusers that come against the church today. Well, you guys say these things so you don't love people. You guys do this so you don't show the love that Jesus did. You know, there are accusers at the city gate. But I don't have to worry about the accusers, because I'm walking in the rest. God has given rest as a promise to you. All you that are stressed out and tired all the time, God has given you rest. Hello. I was talking to someone this week talking about how busy they are. I said, I don't know anybody busier than me. But guess what? I walk in rest. I was with, last night I had an event at the park, and Stephen was there helping me close it all down as we were working. And it was approaching 11:30, and I looked at him and I said, and I got to get up and preach in the morning. Because God gives me rest. I'm not worried about it. Because I'm walking in the things that God has for me. So it doesn't matter what my accusers say, because I'm walking in the rest of the Lord. Amen? Just like when we look at arrows and we think about them, we have to understand, and we've heard this all throughout the world today when it comes to any kind of weapon, any kind of gun or bullet or anything that people talk about, they say that it can be used for good or evil. It can be used for good or evil. Well, you know what? When we raise our children, it can be the same thing. We're raising them and we're sending them into the world, and they can do good or they can do evil. But it's like the church, it's raising up disciples and Christians that some do more harm than good. And it's time the church realizes that we have to do good. We have to be carefully crafted to make an impact for the world, to do good in the sight of the Lord. That's why, you know, I know that it's important to me when we launch this new discipleship, because I believe it is going to help us understand what it is to carefully craft the arrow that God has called us to be. So, welcome to Arrow Crafting 101. You're going to learn today about crafting an arrow. Amen? An arrow has four parts, and I showed those to the kids today. It has the fletching. I got that right. You're proud of me. Or the feathers. It has, of course, the shaft. It has the nock and the point. Today you're going to understand why all four of these things are important, but what's more important is how they come in order. What God has designed for this to be. You know, so the first thing that we're going to look at today is the arrow's shaft. The arrow's shaft. The arrow's shaft is the identity. We start here because everything that I just talked about attaches to this, right? Everything. None of these things can do anything without this. What's a point going to do? What kind of damage is a point going to make if I'm running around throwing it at you? Right? Not going to make much of an impact unless it's attached to an arrow. So it has to start with the shaft. And this must be carefully shaped and formed and crafted. You know, before this nice carbon fiber one was created, a lot of these were made of wood. And they had to begin to make these, and they had to begin to look at them to make sure that they were perfectly straight. Because if this shaft had any bend to it, any crook in it whatsoever, it wouldn't fly straight. If it could break upon impact if it didn't understand how to take pressure. We had to understand that this thing had to be created. You know, and too many people in the world today think that children just grow up and by nature they become what they're supposed to be. Well, this arrow isn't just going to grow into an arrow. It has to be crafted by a creator. And our children have to grow up and be crafted. They have to be shaped and formed. And how many know sometimes the forming of an arrow comes with pressure? Oh, we face pressure in the world today, don't we? Don't we face trials and tribulations and things? Pressure of the world that comes upon us. We don't like the pressure. But an arrow, especially made of wood, if it breaks or cracks under pressure, it would be no good. It would be of no use, would it? Too many Christians, children of God, break and crack under pressure. The tests and trials of the world come, and too many people break. But if you look at the book of James today, James chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, "For you know that when your faith is tested," when your faith is tested, say tested. So it's going to happen. "Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." When your endurance is fully developed. An arrow has to be under pressure for a long time until it's developed, proven that it can stand under pressure, under time, needing nothing. But then it says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flowers droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away and all of their achievements. But God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, 'God has tempted me.' God never tempted to do wrong. He never tempts anyone. But he does say, as we look at this, that we will be tested, that we will face the pressures of this world. But it is in that testing and in that pressure and in that time that we are fully developed. If it starts here, if it starts with the shaft and it's not developed correctly, it will be of no use. It will not be effective for the kingdom of God. And it also talks to not let its loyalties be divided, because another thing that happens with an arrow, it can't hit two targets at the same time. When this thing is crafted, it's going to have a target in mind. But if our loyalties are divided between the things of God and the things of this world, we're not going to be able to accomplish both. You have to set your things on the things of the Lord. And when you set your eyes on the things of God and you put it into focus, and that is your goal and that is your direction, when this is launched, it will hit its target, accomplishing everything it is set out to do. But it starts with our identity. Identity is something that is lost in the world today. People are so confused about their identity and what they're supposed to be. How are they ever to be crafted to be used by God? Because they're lost. Why do you think the enemy goes after our identity first? He attacks who you are. But we are created as children of God. We are created in the image of God to be who God created us to be. Right? It says in the beginning he created them male and female. Right? He created them. So we have to understand what God created us to be. He created this to be an arrow. And that's what it is. All of these things, you know, it's not a flower or as the kid said, a screw or topped a pin or a sun. You know, oftentimes in the world, that's the things are called. Yeah, whatever you want that to be, it can be. It's not. We're making an arrow today. You understand that? It's in a drumstick. You know, this is the shaft of an arrow. I want you to get that in your system today, who you are. Who has God created you to be? I am the beginning of an arrow. Because God is going to use me for something great. You know, and then as we move past the arrow, as we move past the shaft, the next thing that we focus on is the fletching, the feathers. This is where our character is developed. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart, right? Because it begins with training. It begins, first of all, that they understand who they're created to be, but then they get to add a little flair to it, their character, right? This is going to be some yellow and white today. That one right there is blue and white. But at the end, it's they know their identity, and now they have a little bit of character. Every one of us has different gifts and abilities that God has given us, right? We have a little different things that make us up of who we are, but our character is important. And as these are added to this arrow, it is so that they are helped to guide it. And it will be guided with skill and strength. If it's missing one of these, it won't have the skill to hit what it's supposed to hit. But this guidance system that is attached has it designed for skill and strength. If you flip over just a couple pages in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, starting in verse 3. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. How many of you know you got to respond to the promise of God? That's a free one for you today. You have to respond to the promises of God. You know, we can sit around and look and go, why are they so blessed? Why do they have this? Why do they do that? Why do they get all of this? And I'm over here still struggling. You have to respond to the promises of God. You have to do what the Word of God says, and you'll receive the blessings that are attached. Hello? Don't get quiet on me today. You got to respond to the promises of God. And it supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It says, the more you grow. The more you grow. Come on, say, the more you grow. The more productive you'll be. The more useful you will be. Let me tell you, we got some useless arrows in the quiver. We got quivers. We got useless arrows. This is useless in the quiver without the knock, the fletching, and the point. What good is this going to do? Well, I know who I am in Jesus. That's great. Now we got to add to it. Continually growing. Well, I have moral excellence. Great. Now get knowledge. Oh, well, I've got some knowledge. Great. Get patient endurance. Grow. And why are we doing? Accelerate. To accelerate your growth and potential of who God has created you to be. Why is this? Well, you know, I'm pretty good. Yeah, you're a shaft. But it's time that we grow. It's time that we're more useful and productive for the kingdom of God. Well, you don't know how useful I am. You don't know how productive I am. I do. Because I'm looking for fruit. And as I said on Wednesday night, does your fruit abide in the Word of God? Does your fruit abide? Because if you're useful and you're productive, you are getting fruit for the kingdom of God. Our churches are becoming more empty, not more full, because we're not producing fruit that abides. We're producing fruit that wants to be entertained. We're producing fruit that says, well, they offended me today, so I'm going to take 3 weeks off. You know, I think he was talking to me today. It's not useful and productive in the kingdom of God. We're to grow. There's correction that comes. We get our toes stepped on. Let me tell you, I mean, I listen to preachers and I go to services and I get my toes stepped on at times too, right? And it gives me an opportunity to grow. It gives me an opportunity to see how I can be more useful and I can be more productive in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be a useless tool. I don't want to be a useless tool in the quiver. When God reaches to pull me out, to say, it's Jeremy's, it's his time. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. So I have to understand that without the character that God is creating his disciples to be, without us growing, we won't fly straight. Because this is our guidance system. The word of the Lord is our guidance system. He wants us to be productive and useful for the things that he's called us to be. He is preparing it as our guidance. If we leave one thing out, if you come through the Word of God and say, well, I don't like that part, that's not for me, then your guidance system is messed up. I'm on metal today. There are some organized, and when I say organized, please hear me, organized religions that have got their guidance systems messed up because they ain't listening to the Word of God. This is our guidance system right here. We're an independent church, and when people say, what's your doctrine? I say it is from the beginning to the end, from the front to the back. Well, what's your doctrine? It's the Word of God, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it'll never change. It's our guidance system. Okay, so some organized things have gotten a little messed up and said, well, you know, we don't believe in this anymore, or we're interpreting this differently. Well, I don't care what you're doing, your guidance system is messed up. And if your guidance system is messed up, you will miss the mark. And churches are missing the mark. People are missing the mark. They're not flying straight. They're not flying straight anymore. We have to fly straight. We have to have our guidance system tuned in. It's important that we understand that all of this, every bit that we stand on matters. We can't take anything out. We can't leave the Holy Spirit out. You can't leave the power of healing out. You can't leave signs and wonders and miracles out. You can't leave tithing out. I mean, you can't leave this stuff out. It's important. It's in the Word of God. If you don't understand it, that's the opportunity to grow. That's the opportunity. I don't understand this. That's okay. No one, or at least us, are not coming against you and coming on condemnation for you not understanding something. But we ask, you learn. We want to make sure you know, because as your guidance system is complete, God's not pulling you out of the quiver until you're ready. Our guidance system has to be complete. And as we continue to make our arrow, where identity is formed, our character is formed, and then all of a sudden, you have to add this little piece of plastic that all the kids said was just a pin top. This little piece of plastic called the knock. Oh, it's important. This little thing's important. And this is the next thing that's needed. Not the point, the knock. Why is this so important? I like to call this the relationship. I'm going to have James Michael come up. He's going to help me with this part. Without a knock, yep, without the knock, without the relationship, what good is an arrow? What good is an arrow without a knock, without a relationship? I'm going to tell you, there's too many people in the world today that God has called them, and they got a calling of God on their life, and I wouldn't deny that. But then they say, you know what, God, I'm going to go do this on my own. I'm going to do this on my own. And they feel all this stuff that they're going to do, but you know what, they have no relationship. No one sent them. Pull. What good is a bow with no arrow? What good is a bow with no arrow? What can it do? He can pull. But there's nothing to shoot. He has no arrow. And even if we took this arrow right here and I placed it in his bow and he tried to hold it with his fingers and put it on the string, pull, James. And he pulled. And he's going to go release this thing, and he's holding it. I mean, who knows, that arrow may come over here and pop Jamie right in the forehead. Because what good is an arrow without a knock? What good is a bow without an arrow? What good is an arrow without a bow? What good is the arrow without a knock? Thank you. Because why is this relationship so important? Because if that little thing isn't attached to the end, who knows where to go? I've seen too many people say, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to do this work over here. Oh, never mind. That didn't go as well. Let me go do a work over here. Well, you know, they came against me. I'm going to go do a work over here. It's because there's no relationship. There's no relationship. See, I was lucky in my life to have a relationship with godly parents. They were able to then, with that knock, begin to create the identity and the shaft and the guidance system. And with that relationship, they held me in place to create aim, to create direction. Because without the relationship, you have no aim. You have no direction. The disciples were mentored by Jesus. Paul was sent by Peter. Timothy was sent by Paul, right? There was a relationship. There was a relationship. When you look and you don't see accountability from disciples and pastors and teachers and mentors, there's no relationship. Who are you connected to? What is the relationship you have? That's why this discipleship, if you look in our accelerate, the R stands for relationship. Relationship is important. Oh, it doesn't mean we all get together and just chat over coffee. It's that we grow in the things of the Word of God, and we create a relationship. And through that, you develop a relationship with your pastor and your teacher and your apostles, because we're wanting to develop the relationship with you so that when you're ready to be aimed, there's a relationship. When you say, well, I know God's calling me here and I want to do this, okay, but if you go before the relationship's developed, you'll miss the mark. You'll miss where God is trying to send you. The relationship is so important. You know, when you think about an arrow too, in some respects, the arrow can only be launched once. So that relationship's so important. That when all that power, as James had all that power in that bow, without a relationship, it wasn't transferred. There is something that happens in the transfer of power that only comes through a relationship. That's why through the laying on of hands, there's a transfer. That's why we lay hands on the sick. That's why we agree with you in prayer and lay hands on people. It says it in the Word of God for you to lay hands on people. There's a transfer of the faith that is in me, the bent up power of the Holy Spirit in me being transferred to you. That's why some people fall out under the Spirit, because it's a power of the Holy Spirit. It's a transfer of power. But you know what? Without this, there's no transfer. Oh, you can have this big, mean, mighty arrow. It looks great. There's a point on it and guided system. But without this, how is the power transferred? How is the power transferred? See, the Holy Spirit, he wants us to be connected with him as well. Connected. It says, draw to me and I'll draw near to you, because he wants to transfer the power. Why do you think he sent us his Holy Spirit? He said, I will send you another who can do greater things than I. Oh, it is through that. Why do we say we want people to be filled with the Holy Spirit? For the transfer of power. Let me tell you, when people leave this out, they have no power. If you leave the Holy Spirit out, you have no power. Because it comes through the Holy Spirit, and he lives within me. He can live within you. And it is a transfer of power. The knock, it's important. The knock is important. And then we come to the thing that everybody is excited about. Oh, the point. Oh, this is the part that everybody wants. Because why? This is what's going to do damage, right? This is what's going to pierce the heart of the enemy. This is what's going to hit the mark. But you know, this does no good without the rest of that arrow. I'm just going to be throwing it at you. It ain't going to do any good. I'm not going to run around and poke you with this thing, right? Because I need the pent-up power from that bow to be transferred for this thing to be any good. Otherwise, these kids may be right. Maybe it's a Monopoly piece. If you got a purpose, because this is the purpose, this is the mission, this is your last thing, the point, the purpose, the mission. If you say, I got a purpose, I got a mission, I got all these things, but I don't have a relationship, but I don't have an identity, I don't have the character that I need, this might as well be a Monopoly piece, because you're playing games with the Holy Spirit. You're playing games. It's time we stop playing games and realize that every person in this place has a purpose. Now the problem is, we all want to know our purpose right away. We want to know this before we're willing to do the work of the rest. We say, well, I want to know my purpose. What does God call me to do, Pastor? If you tell me, then I'll study. If you tell me, then I'll pray. If you tell me, then I'll do this. But I got to know my purpose. No, God wants to know, are you willing to be carefully crafted under pressure? Are you willing to allow the guidance system to be put in place? Are you willing to develop a relationship and submit to authority before I give you your purpose? Oh, we want the purpose. The purpose is important. But this could be quick. This could be in one moment we deliver our purpose, our mission, what God calls us to be. But this is a lifetime. This is what we grow into, we build into, that God wants to carefully craft over time. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 49. Starting in verse 1, Isaiah 49:1 says, listen to me, all you in distant lands. Pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by name. He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. He has hid me in the shadow of his hand. I am like a sharp arrow in his quiver. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, and you will bring me glory. I replied, but my work seems so useless. Huh. Because we're useless without our guidance system. And he says, I've spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose. If you're here today and you feel like you've wandered and you've spent your strength and you've spent your walk with the Lord with no purpose, I want to tell you that can change right now in a moment. I want to tell you that can change right now in an instant, because there's something that happens when a relationship happens. There's something that happens when you develop what God wants. There's something that happens when you get grounded in the right church. Hello. There's something that happens when you have the right mentor. But you develop a relationship. And even though you say, well, all my life I've been working this and I've just felt like I have no purpose, God is saying there's a purpose for you. It's not useless. I've created you to be useful and productive in the kingdom of God because you have a purpose and a plan. But it's important that we follow all that what God is trying to do. Because then it says that it says that when we leave ourselves in the Lord's hands, we trust God for our reward. He's telling us, don't fight for yourself. Trust in God. Verse 5, and now the Lord speaks. The one who formed me in my mother's womb to be a servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. And he says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and I will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. I want you to know that we are an extension of the outstretched hand of the Lord. And he wants us to be a light to the world. He wants us to be a light to those that don't know Jesus. He wants us to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When we give to missions, we're sending arrows into those countries. We're sending arrows into those villages. We're carefully crafting it every time you buy a pork chop, so that we can send another arrow to reach another country, to see another soul come to know Jesus. That's what we're doing as a church, but we want to carefully craft arrows right here in the church to reach Bardstown, to reach Nelson County, to reach our school systems, to reach our government. You know, we have to be carefully crafted because we are an extension of the outstretched arm of the Lord. And we have potential to do good or to do evil. We have the potential to do good or to do evil. What do we do with what God has given us? What do we do with what God has created us to be? Because see, this arrow has to be crafted, it has to be made, has to be perfected before the target is revealed. See, oftentimes we want to see the target and go, let's go make an arrow to reach that. No. We're ready. We're crafted before the target is revealed. Are you ready? Are you ready for your target to be revealed? Are you ready to be used by God? We need arrows launched into industry. We need arrows launched into politics. We need arrows launched into education, into government. We need arrows launched into TV and communication, into those over our social media, right? We need godly arrows being launched into these positions. Targets are being revealed, and it's time that arrows come out of the quiver. It's time that arrows that are carefully crafted and ready come out of the quiver. I want to tell you, Psalms 127 said, the accusers are at the gate. They are at the gate. But God, he is looking for a remnant that is ready to come out of the quiver, that has said, I've been hiding in the hand of God, and I'm ready for the Lord to use me. I'm ready for my Heavenly Father to guide me. I'm ready for the Holy Spirit to fill me. I'm ready for the powerful name of Jesus to be about my lips. He is ready for arrows to come out of the quiver. I know you've been crafted. I know you've been ready. but you've still been hiding in the quiver. You're ready. You've done the work. But your purpose isn't fulfilled. Targets are being revealed, and it's time the church step up. Because God is ready to send the arrows to hit the target. The question is, where are you in this stage? What do you need to continue to perfect? What do you need to continue to work on? Do we need to sharpen that point a little bit? Do we need to get it ready? Do we need to add more to our guidance system? Do we need to develop our relationship with our mentors, our teachers, our pastors, our apostles, our Heavenly Father? Do we need to develop this more? If you're just now coming to know Jesus, you need to ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. He wants to work on the shaft, the identity of who He's called you to be. We can all be at different stages in this process. But the thing is that we never give up. That we keep saying, Lord, perfect me. Make me who You've called me. I don't want a little wobble. I don't want a little bend. Because just a little bend, just a little, I just put up with a little sin in my back pocket that it's really not a big deal. It'll make you miss the mark. It'll make you miss the mark. But as we're crafted to be who God has called us to be, He'll pull us out of the quiver in just the right time when He's ready to use us. Don't come out of the quiver too soon. Don't try to launch until everything is completed. Because I know that this time is coming when God is ready to rise up, not just our children, but all of the children of God to be carefully crafted arrows in the Almighty's hand. Amen? If you say, I'm ready to be an arrow. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready to be an arrow. And I'm ready to come out of the quiver. Because I know God wants to do great things in your life. If you know God has a purpose and plan for your life, I want you to stand across this place. I want to pray for you. If you're not standing, I want to tell you something. God has a plan for your life, so now I want you to stand. Because sometimes we forget. I can't do what you do. You don't need to do what I do. You need to do what you do. God created you to be who you are. He carefully crafted you. There may be some things you need to work on. Because guess what? There were things that in a time in my life I needed to work on. And I'm still not perfect. I'm hitting some targets. But I've still got some targets I need to hit. Amen? How many know we all got work to do? We all need to examine ourselves. And go through this and ask God, am I everything You've created me to be? Why have You not pulled me out of the quiver yet? I know that's a question on many people's hearts. God, have You given me a word? You've given me a promise. I've heard the words. How come, Lord? Why, God, have You not pulled me out of the quiver? I feel like I've been sitting in here waiting for a long time, Lord. Oh, everywhere I go, I feel like I'm just getting pushed around from here to there. No one has pulled me out to use me yet, Lord. I have gifts and talents. Maybe I can play. Maybe I can sing. Maybe I can build. I can do things, God. But I don't feel like anybody's taking advantage of my gifts. Why? Ask the Lord, why am I still in the quiver? Maybe it's the relationship. You need to line up with the right person that can send you what God is calling you to do. Amen? Oh, I'm just so excited for each and every person. For each of you that is here today, watching online, serves in this body, because I know God has a purpose for you, and I want to see it fulfilled. When I see you walking in your purpose, fulfilling the plan God has for you, it blesses me. And if it blesses me, I know it blesses the Heavenly Father. Our goal should be to bless our Heavenly Father. Amen. I want to pray for you today. Put your hand on your heart if you don't mind. Oh, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I ask right now that each and every person that is here today watching online, Father God, with their hand on their heart, that they just begin to examine themselves, Lord Jesus. Examine their life, Father God. Examine their intentions. Examine their desires. examine their purpose and begin to ask themselves, Father God, am I created in an image and likeness of you? Father God, have I been wandering and I haven't fully committed and given my life to you? Today I examine my heart, Lord, and if there's anything in it that's unpleasing, I ask that you remove that so that I know who I am in you. God, for those that are here today that need to add more to their guidance system, Lord, that have gotten off the path, missed the mark, Lord, I ask that you examine, let them examine their hearts today. You speak to them today, that they begin to get back on course. I thank you, Father God, that you're a God of second and third and fourth and chances, God, and you allow us to get right back on course. God, I thank you that you're guiding and directing the church today to be in position to hit the mark. God, I ask for those that have neglected relationships, that have broken relationships, that you'll heal those today. Lord, those that have broken marriages, that you'll heal those today. Those that have damaged relationship with their children, that you'll heal that today. Oh, Father God, I know the relationships are so important to you. And Father God, I ask that we examine our relationships today, that they're strengthened, that you find honor in those, Lord. Lord, if there's any unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord, against another, I ask that you just be revealed to us so we can remove that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we're strengthening our relationship with you, that we're drawing near to you, Father God, and as you promise, you'll draw near to us. God, and those that today have been asking about their purpose, their mission, Lord, that today you'll begin to provide clarification, Father God, for what you've called them to do. Lord, that the target will be coming in sight, and they'll be ready. They'll be ready, Father God, to accomplish the mission that you've set them on. Holy Spirit, ask that you fill those with power right now, that there is a transfer of power to the people of God in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, let us be ready to come out of the quiver. Let us be carefully crafted arrows ready for a target, ready for a mission, God, to accomplish what you've set us to accomplish in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you receive that, say amen. If you receive it, give God a hand clap of praise today.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.